Hi, I'm Leah LaChapelle, author of Unzipping Reality, 11 Steps to Create the World We Want, and host of Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I am dedicated to the transforming of human consciousness on planet Earth in our lifetime. So trust, know, be, and do the process as we unzip reality. Well, hello. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I'm Leah LaChapelle, your host, doing a lot of unzipping here. And my traditional greeting is Us Love Us. I hope everyone is busily making progress on that upward ascent. Us Love Us. That's everybody, you guys. That's all of us. So it's a lot of fun once you kind of get into the flow. And this is all about how to do that. This program is designed to support all of us in our evolution. And we don't do anything that's not just pretty fun around here. So just relax and settle in, and the Us Love Us will come. It's pretty natural. It's in the divine blueprint we have come to discover. And actually, reality has been unzipped for a while to the degree where we can actually look through that zipped up reality with our consciousness. We can look through there and we can see the portal. Lo and behold, there's a portal and it's open. It's not a secret anymore. The portal is open for us. So my invitation is to step on through and be who and what we really are. My website is fearorlove.com. This is what I wake up thinking about. This is what I dream at night about. This is what we talk about. We are alive, everybody. And today, to help me have this level of aliveness, I have had the pleasure to invite my friend Sam Ellick to be on the broadcast. Sam Ellick is an impressive young man, and you're going to find out why I'm so impressed with him upon meeting him. He is the founder and consciousness exploration officer, that's CEO in old paradigm speak, consciousness explorations officer. And Sam is passionate. I mean, I could just put a period right there. Sam is passionate, but I'll complete. He's passionate about being on the cutting edge of human potential. Sam is a natural biohacker, all right? So there's not a violent bone in his body. He's totally natural. He's done his homework. He's constantly doing the research and experimenting with the latest knowledge that relates to all things natural, foods, supplements, fitness, and overall well-being. So this consciousness exploration officer is the head of Brain Juice, brainjuice.me. is the website. And let's just go ahead and bring Sam Ellick up now. And get prepared, you guys, because he's been drinking his brain juice. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Leah. That was, I appreciate that introduction. And I'm really excited to be here. And, you know, those who know me best know that consciousness, and, you know, that word has a lot of, it's very loaded for a lot of people, but it's one of the, it's the thing that I'm most passionate about talking about. And the way I think about it is, the higher we elevate our consciousness to these higher states, the basically the less problems we have, and the more we're able to get along and the happier we are. And so I'm just really passionate about finding ways to let go of the things that don't serve us and to add more of the things into our lives and our minds, bodies, and spirits that do serve us so that we can our level.
Oh my goodness, that's fantastic. Now, okay, what are you, like middle-aged? Are you a grandpa? You're a young man. A very
I'm 31. I'm 31 years old.
This is okay. This is just the best thing ever, because our young people are exploding with creativity, and you're no exception. So, okay, you haven't been this age very long. Let's back up. And I hope that you're not tired of telling people about the background, about how Brain Juice came to be, because I find it very relevant and very relatable. Could you just kind of tell us your experience?
Absolutely. Well, it's, and I'll kind of get into how the whole process and the product itself has changed me and transformed me, as I've gone. But before, I just, you know, plain and simply, I had trouble concentrating in school. And I also didn't really feel, you know, there were moments when I was really young, when I had a lot of clarity, I felt like I had a lot of clarity about my life purpose and why I'm here and things like that. And, you know, I would see these superhero movies like Batman, and you know, Bruce Wayne is in Batman, and this is where I get a little, you know, I take you back to the young days, but, and Bruce Wayne was this, like, he is this guy who's very successful, he's a billionaire, and he uses all that money to do really cool, good things, you know, like fight crime and those kinds of things. And so I remember from a young age being inspired by those kinds of stories. And I thought, that's what I want. I want to be successful in business, but doing people and you know, things that are good for the people, the planet, and an all around win, and then be able to create abundance through that so that I can then do more cool things and you know, build bigger projects. And for me, I'll get into my big visions later, but there's so much opportunity and so many fun and exciting things about building this new world, this new paradigm.
Yes.
That I get so excited about it. But sorry, I'm getting off track a little bit, even, because I get so excited about it. But basically, I had trouble concentrating in school. I thought there's got to be a natural way aside from all the, you know, sort of all the unnatural things out there that I don't want to go too deep into. And so I started, you know, with my last dying brain cell, I hadn't really been, you know, I to get a little deeper into it. At the end of college, I hadn't been treating my brain well. It wasn't working well. And I needed something, a natural way to have it work better and to help me concentrate better. And so with my last dying brain cell, I had the idea, there's got to be a way to feed your brain all the natural nutrients it needs to perform at its peak. And so I started researching, and it's funny, because once I had that idea and that like vision and that sort of sense of purpose, even though my brain wasn't working that well, I had so much passion that I just was like ravenously researching and trying to find the answer. And I started, you know, really changing my diet and adding all these supplements, and I started to have real benefits. And as time went on, I thought, you know, this is great, but I wish I had something that people could take, that was in a bottle, that people could take and they could feel it quickly. Because most people, and a lot of people, you know, especially in my generation, we kind of expect things to happen quickly. You know what I mean? It's hard to get somebody to sort of, yes, you know, get on a 3 month or a 6 month or whatever program, like, oh yeah, get on your 6 month brain diet, you'll start noticing results after 2 months or whatever. It's just kind of, people don't want to wait. And so I thought, there's got to be a way to do it quickly. And so that's where the inspiration came from. For brain. I ended up meeting a biochemist synchronistically. I actually met him in a swimming pool in the apartment complex I was living at right after I got my MBA. And he had studied functional neurology under a guy named Dr. Natish Krazian, who's one of the top functional neurologists in the world. And I've actually never met Natish, but Peter studied under him. And he's doing some very cutting edge functional neurology, which is basically, it's kind of like the natural side of neuroscience. You know, it's about how do you feed your brain the natural nutrients it needs, as opposed to, you know, taking a drug to mess with your brain. Does that distinction make sense?
Or yeah, or
so,
a shot of tequila.
So we really focused on that side of things. Exactly. So anyway, we ended up, you know, Peter had learned a lot from Dr. Krazian, and he was a biochemist. And so we started researching together, and, you know, we started buying all these ingredients from different suppliers. And, you know, we started doing our own little tests and trials, and then we would first try them ourselves and play brain training games on lumosity.com, which is where you can kind of test your, you know, you can see, like, you can test your reaction time before and after, and you can test your memory, your working memory before and after. You can kind of test all these things, and it's not, you know, we didn't really have the money to go do a big double blind scientific study, but we could pretty quickly figure out what was working and what wasn't working by using that. And so we ended up doing that kind of thing for about a year, and we started giving it to our friends and having them play these games. And then we also got subjective surveys from them. So we were kind of getting an objective, you know, metric and subjective. And over time, we started to hone in this formula that really was working for people. And so we, you know, after about a year of that, we started bottling it and selling it. And, you know, we certainly had our challenges, but we, you know, started getting the stores here in Austin, and then, we got into about 50 little mom and pop stores around Austin, and then we got a meeting with Whole Foods, and I went in there and sold us into Whole Foods. We got in Whole Foods, and then, you know, we had, like I said, we had a lot of challenges on the way, along the way, but, now we're in, HEB, about 150 HEBs. We're in the central markets. We're in about 800 or so GNCs, about 100 Whole Foods, and then a few other chains. We actually just got accepted into Sprouts.
Oh my goodness, I love Sprouts.
Yeah, I love Sprouts too. So we'll be on their shelves sometime around July.
Well,
and so
now,
it's just been, you know,
Sam,
one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, I just want to say that there are lots of people that have great products, and they're not in HEB, they're not in Whole Foods. It doesn't mean that their product isn't any good. This is your path. This is something that, as you were studying for your MBA here in Austin, actually it was at the Acton School, was it not?
Yes,
the Acton School of Business. That listen, that's a very select few people that get to go to the Acton School of Business. So I congratulate you for that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it was kind of an uphill climb and that you had to develop brain juice and everything. Sorry about that. It was because you were like flipping out. It's like, wow, life is hard. And so you needed to help yourself. And so you did. And I think it's your story that people are so positive about, because it's the real deal. It is, like you say, it is a new paradigm approach. Instead of taking that shot of tequila or whatever, and by the way, no subject is off limits here on Unzipping Reality. We let it fly here, okay? So instead of doing something like that, which would be considered old paradigm, you asked new questions. What can I do to help yourself? And you helped yourself. And so now you're able to approach these buyers at these big grocery stores, and they're a yes to you. Whereas other people, oh, sorry, we have enough juice on our shelves. Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty extraordinary, Sam.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And you know, it takes a lot of passion. And I personally believe that you're right. The passion and the story here's the thing is that everybody has a story. And I actually went through an exercise a few years ago where I was in this seminar and they were like, we're going to craft your story for everyone's going to craft their own hero story. And at the beginning of it, I was like, oh no, my story is not very good. You know, no one cares about my story. But what I learned is that everybody has a compelling story in some way, but most people discount their stories. And really when people can take the time to look at their story and really craft it in the way that the best way that it can be told, it becomes a really powerful story that opens hearts and minds. And that is a very, very powerful thing when it comes to business and success in life, because like you said, people resonate most with other people's real authentic stories because they see themselves in it, and they see, you know, okay, they want to support someone who's a real person and who has a real story and who, you know, a real compelling story. So I'm glad you touched on that because I think it's an important thing.
Yes, and I think it's great to get that context because all of us are ordinary people, okay? It's the compression that we're in that pulls out the passion or the nobility or, you know, yes, Frodo, Frodo says, I'll take the ring. I'll take it, you know, in Lord of the Rings. That's that hero's journey. And I personally believe that there's a hero in all of us. And so you've just tapped your inner hero and you happened to use business in order to do it. Now, my prime, Wah, and I are both big believers in business as a means to direct and craft and open up the new paradigm. And so anyone that is doing something like you are is just loaded with the new paradigm energy. And so wouldn't it also be true that when you step forward and you say, hi, I'm Sam Ellick, I have volunteered to take the ring, you know, you are doing this. Don't you have to really look within to make sure that you remain that man that you express yourself to be? Talk to us about that a little bit.
That's such a good question. And I'm glad you asked it because now I get to talk about all the transformation that's happened since I started this journey. And, you know, and you were talking about the hero's journey, and I'm a big believer in that too. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the listeners probably know this, but there's, you know, kind of the arc of the hero's journey. You know, I think Joseph Campbell was the author who really kind of popularized it. But, you know, what happens is that people have a need, or they feel called to go on a quest. They go on the quest, you know, they have people who come along the way and help them. And they have the demons, that their own inner demons they have to face. They have adversity they have to face. And ultimately, when they return and they kind of complete the arc, they're transformed. And I'll just tell you, that has been my experience 100%. Early on, I thought it was about, you know, focus, clarity, and memory, and you know, and kind of the more performance aspects of the brain. And really, what I've learned along the way is that it all kind of starts with heart, you know. It starts with that. What I believe is, I like to call it a heart's calling. You know, everyone's heart has a calling. And I personally believe that the heart is like the connection, you know, the main connection to the soul or to, you know, God or spirit or whatever people like to call that thing that we all talk about. But, you know, this experience for me, it really has challenged me to dig deep, because I'll tell you, it hasn't always been roses and sunshine. And I know from the outside, you know, I think a lot of stories, a lot of the success stories you see, It's easy to look at them and say, oh my God, like that person had this great idea and like, boom, off to the races, overnight success. And I can say, I think that those are rare. That's my personal opinion. And I think that if you really look deeper in people's stories, they had to, well, I know this has been my experience. And I think this is true for a lot of people, is that they really have to dig deep and become, and like, you know, take stock of the parts of themselves that, that maybe aren't great, and let go of them and step into, have the courage to step into, you know, newer, better ways of being, and have the courage to, and the have courage and have the courage to have integrity with what they said they were going to do. And have, and here's where it gets real tough. Have the courage to admit when they are out of integrity and to then choose to get back into integrity and to, you know, and all those things, and have the courage to admit when they make mistakes. And I'll tell you, I've been through it all. Like, please don't look at me and think like, oh my God, this guy has got it made. He's had it since he was a young kid. No, like I've been through the ringer on this thing. We've had the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. And we still have challenges, but we also have wins. And that's what I've learned about business, is that it's, you know, it's a, and they're all so juicy, for lack of a better word, because you know, you have to, in my opinion, this is how I do it. I enjoy the wins. And when the challenges come and the adversities, I say, this looks like a bad thing, but it's going to work out to our benefit. When I'm talking to the team, I say, it's going to work out to our benefit. We have to make it work out to our benefit, though. And we have to choose for it to work out to our benefit. And one of my favorite quotes is by Napoleon Hill, who was an author who studied the most successful people of his time and wrote a couple books, Think and Grow Rich and The Law of Success and 16 Lessons. And one of the things he said was, every adversity carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit.
Ooh, wow.
But
that's,
it's the
how we
seed.
Spiral upward. Yeah.
It is. It's the seed. It doesn't mean that you're going to get the benefit. It means that you have to take that seed and nurture it and make it a benefit. And for me, I think that one principle is such a, you know, a difference maker between success and failure, is that some people, the adversities come and they say, oh my God, this must not be the right path. It must, you know, it's not working. It's hard. And they quit. You know, and I think the people who can roll with the adversity and say, we know what, this adversity is just going to make us better, and they have that, it's almost like a decision you have to make, that the adversity will make you better. That right there, it, at least for me, it's been such a powerful principle. And it's one of the things that I like to share with people, because it's, the adversity is going to come. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that, because there are doctrines out there that are the more, I'll just say, more the mainstream Christian kind of a mindset. There's good there, and there's also derailing, because sometimes you think in that kind of a hard mindset, well, if adversity is here, then it must be the devil. I must not supposed to be doing this. And you're not saying that at all. And that's very refreshing, because what I hear is something that's more alchemizing. It's like, okay, sports fans, here's what we got. These are the elements. And what are we going to do with them? And, and I know your heart, Sam, you are an open-hearted man. And so you let in the best parts of life to mix with that, whatever cards you've been dealt. And that's the alchemy. That's it's the excitement. It's the mystery. It's like, hey, dude, it's the fourth quarter and we're behind. You know, what do we need to do here? We need to play.
In those moments, I'll tell you, those moments are the most fun moments, because that is where, you know, you have to dig deep, and that's where the blood is flowing. And I actually love those moments. And, you know, I think we all, you know, and at some point in our life, we all have those moments where we get nervous, or, we get a little timid or whatever. And I still have those too, but I nowadays there's nothing more I like than being put in the fourth quarter when something, a big play needs to be made. Uh-huh. And that is what life is about right there. Like that's,
it,
you know what I mean?
Is, and it's like out of the comfort zone. But when yes. you can kind of wrap it up like, okay, this is out of my comfort zone and I'm liking it. Because it's exciting. It's going to propel me and also the entire planet, which I know you very deeply care about. You care Absolutely. About your planet. And, are you meeting other young people that care enough to get in the game?
Absolutely. And, I might be in a little bit of a bubble because I attract people like me, just like everybody does. But the people that I know and the people that I hang out with there's a lot of very passionate young people who feel a responsibility, and not only a responsibility, but an excitement and an opportunity, maybe even an opportunity is the right way to say it, but an opportunity to really turn the tide on a lot of the less than conscious or the less conscious things that have been happening on our planet. And I don't even look at it all as bad. Like I don't look at, oil companies or whatever as bad. I think of that, like the older technologies, and yeah, there's been some pollution. There's been significant pollution. We've extincted some species. And I personally love lions and tigers and big cats are my favorite animals. And so, it hurts me to know that we've extincted a lot of these big animals, and not only them, but a lot of animals. But I also really believe that we've gotten the old technologies and the old ways have gotten us where we are, but now we know better and we've gotten a lot of feedback, which is just like what you have to do in business. You're going to make mistakes, and really what you have to do is you have to look at the data, look at the mistakes, and say what worked and what didn't work, and then make better decisions going forward. And I think there's a lot of people my age, a lot of young people my age and younger, who can kind of see a lot of the data out there. And in our minds, we're thinking, okay, we're going to do better. Like we're going to turn this tide, and we're going to, have some, score some points for the light or for good.
Yeah.
For lack of a better way of saying it.
Well, that's fantastic. So you're making this a little bit not so dire. Like there's an elasticity to it. It's like, yes, we've made some bum choices here as a species, and all is not lost, and we still have time to pull this out. That's kind of what I hear you saying.
That's how I feel. And go ahead. I'm just going to say real quick, I'm the kind of person who I see everything as perfect in a way. Oh. I think that the adversities we go through this is another one of those things I'm about to say that I can only say it one way, and it's kind of hard to put it into words, but I kind of see it all as God. And I think that the darkness and the adversity and, you see good and evil and all these things. And I think it's all part of the plan, so to speak. Just imagine if everything was all light and rainbows and sunshine and that was it, then number one, we'd never get to sleep. We'd probably get tired because there'd be no darkness. we wouldn't have anything to do because there'd be no problems to solve. And everyone's job, my job is solving a problem, the brain problem. Doctors solve problems all day. Businesses solve problems. And problems, it gives us all something to do, and it gives us an opportunity to live our life's purpose. And so I just, I think that it couldn't be, I don't see how our planet and our livelihood could really be any, what I think are evil. Makes sense what I'm trying to say.
Oh dear.
You there?
Yeah. Keep going.
Hello. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that that made sense, but I'll let you I'll read your court now. You can respond to that because I've been talking for a while.
Yeah, so here's, I think what we're going to be doing after this paradigm wraps up, because it will, and we've got this. I mean, we've got people like Sam Ellick out there with his brain juice, elevating people and helping them holistically and just helping their brain function better so that they're not all zombied out. This is occurring. And so we are now on this upward swing. And so after we complete this paradigm, we'll be going on to the next paradigm, but then we'll have the maturity, the capability to give a helping hand to those who are on their way up. And that's what we're doing. And that's the God thing that you are expressing. And so I'm right there with you. And yeah, we don't have to be embarrassed about God. God is. And so that is, that's pretty much our context here on Unzipping Reality is positivity and solution-based thinking.
Absolutely.
And vibrating. Well, I'm just remembering that that the way I know you, Sam, is through one of our mutual friends, Nasho. That's how I met you. And Nasho, actually, the reason I don't mind naming him on the broadcast is Nasho was a previous Unzipper of the Year and got the award back in 2015, I believe. And so it looks like we, did we drop him? Yeah. Okay, there he is.
Hey, sorry, I lost you. Okay, so we were, I don't know if I was on my end or your end, but either way.
Yeah,
so you were talking about Nasho.
Yeah, you're back. Thank you so much. Okay, poor Inger, she's going to have to edit all this. Okay, so, Nasho was the Unzipper of the Year and received the award in 2015. And he's a little bit older than you, but not much. So, anyway, it's great energy, regardless. It's a lot of fun for me to kind of build these bridges, and this is how we do it. We weave our relationships and our energies together. And so anyway, I just wanted to say, hey, Nasho! Really, really great, and I appreciate his opening his energy field so I could meet you, Sam. Well, all right. I'd like to talk a little bit about capitalism.
Okay.
There are some people, and there's nothing wrong, as we have discussed here, there's nothing wrong with whatever you choose to align with or believe in or do not. Some people think that it is more righteous to be anti-capitalism and that somehow that makes them a better person. With that said, can you tell me a little bit about how you feel about capitalism in general? Is there any hope?
Absolutely. And I just want to say real quick, I'm standing outside right now, so there might be, you might hear some birds chirping. But
oh, good,
I
we
actually,
love birds. Good.
Yeah, we love birds and animals anyway, but I think I get better signal out here, so.
Yeah.
But capitalism, yes, I think capitalism gets a bad rap personally.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the truth is that the banking system and the monetary system that we're on was set up by a few people who have, in my opinion, a lot of domination over it, over the system as a whole. And it's more about the monetary system and the banking system than it is about capitalism, in my opinion. And when I say capitalism, I'm talking about the free exchange of goods, you know, like being like somebody creating a good or service and trading it voluntarily, or you voluntarily coming and trading your money for that good or service. To me, that transaction, what happens in those transactions is value creation. And it's based on the idea of voluntarism. And so For example, nobody's going to come to you and force you to buy a brain juice, right, Leah?
Right.
If you wanted one, then you would go and you'd take your hard-earned money and you would trade it for a brain juice. And in that moment, by doing that exchange, you would be saying that I value the brain juice more than I value my $3.99. And in that moment, that exchange is creating value for you. And it's creating value for me too, because I'm producing the product for less than $3.99. And so I'm able to then take those profits and reinvest them and grow my business and get my product out to more people and support my family and fund the new great ideas I have, which are, you know, I want to create sustainable homes, and I'd love to create a new energy, free energy jet at some point.
So that's
the way I think is that like the more value creation that happens, the more abundance that's created to create new, really cool, technologies and tools. And in my opinion, for me, I like to create conscious ones that are in harmony with the good of people and the planet and all life. And so that's how I think. And I personally really believe that way of thinking is a very healthy way of thinking, because I think the people who think otherwise, and I don't mean to bash anybody at all, but I think that there's a mentality that the government should pay for everything, or that, you know, it's almost like there's a lot of not taking the not of taking of responsibility,
yeah,
and saying like, oh, we should just get everything from the government because you know, the government's rich. And the truth is, the government has zero money.
Right.
The government's money, as a matter of fact, the government is $19 trillion in debt.
Our government. That's correct.
And the way that it gets money is by people like you and me who go out and work really hard, and then we have to pay 35-40% of our paycheck in a lot of cases to the government.
Yeah.
And then the government, you know, funnels it through its bureaucracy, which is very, very inefficient. It's scientifically proven to be about 1,000 times, well, I'm maybe exaggerating a little bit, but much less efficient than somebody like you or me, who's out there making a business and kind of surviving in the real world of voluntary exchange. And so I have very strong feelings about that. And, you know, people have to realize that even in nonprofits, money is the lifeblood of all entities. And if you're in a nonprofit, you know, it which is great, you still have to either sell something or convince people to donate to your cause in order to survive and grow. And so there has to be that voluntary exchange in order for value to be created, in order for economic value to be created, and in order for there to be, you know, newer and better things being invented and created. And I think that there's a movement happening where, and you see it a lot, you see it with Whole Foods, you see it with Tom's Shoes and Patagonia and all these B Corps and companies who are really focusing on creating products that are better for you and better for the planet, and developing newer, better technologies that are going to clean up this mess that we have.
I would put them in the category of under the banner of conscious capitalism.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you, and
we
all
really
that.
Like that.
I agree with you, and I think one of the main points to take away from this conversation or from this topic is that the word capitalism, I think, gets a bad rap from a lot of people. And I think really what we're all feeling, in my opinion, is that there's a very, very small group of people that because they literally run and own the central banks, you know, the Federal Reserve, for example, is a private organization that's basically disguised as a public organization. And so it's the people who run the Federal Reserve, the people who created it, their goal is to make profit for themselves. And the Federal Reserve prints our money, and so it basically what happens is they print. I don't want to get too deep into this rabbit hole, but I think it's important to understand that print money, they loan it to our government, the government loans it to us, and then we start paying interest on the debt, and we have to pay the debt back, and that's how the national debt goes up so high. And it's basically a lose-lose system. Well, it's a win-lose system, I should say. It's a lose for us, but it's a win for the insiders. And I'm not, you know, this isn't just conspiracy talk. This is, if you look into how the Federal Reserve works and how the banking system works,
yeah,
it's fact. And people people can feel that, because people are intuitive enough to feel that there's some sort of problem with our economy and with our government and with how things are working. And I think what happens is that they blame the upper echelon of people, or the upper middle class or the upper class of people, when really there's a lot of people like you and me who are just trying to make a good living and do good, that are having to pay so much of our paycheck, when the people at the very, very, very top are really the bad apples, and they're the ones who are protected because they literally have been raking in billions for generations, and they have it all protected by trusts. But they're not paying taxes on it. So in my opinion, that's the issue, is that there's kind of this insulated mm-hmm. people, kind of insiders in the banking system that really suck a lot of the value out of it. And that's why we have mm-hmm. inflation too, is because there's always more money pumped into the money supply than there is economic value created. And so it causes the value of each dollar to go down. And so everybody, you might be making $60,000 a year every year for 5 years, but that $60,000 5 years later is basically worth 15% less than it was Correct. 5 years earlier, because of the 3% average inflation rate. And yet if you have control over a central bank, you can print as much money as you want for yourself. And so there's not really that, it's not a level playing field. So I get passionate
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and, Sam, obviously you have been drinking that green juice again, the brain yes. juice. I mean, it does make you sharp, and have been doing your homework. I wanted to ask you, we're kind of winding down here. I saw online that you had the opportunity to speak at South by Southwest maybe a year or two ago, or whenever that was.
Yeah, that was actually about four years ago.
Yeah,
and it was actually more of a pitch at the time. Like, it was like they were going around and letting startups get up on stage and kind of pitch their idea.
Wow, was that fun?
It was a lot of fun. It was one of the, it was, like I said, it was 5 years ago, so I was probably 25 or 26 at the time.
Wow.
And I was a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little nervous. But once I got up there, it was just like we talked about before, the juices are flowing, and it's like, those are the moments that you really feel, at least for me, that I feel alive, most alive. Yes. So I love those kinds of things.
That is so awesome. Well, something else I had seen on your Facebook. Oh my gosh, this so cracked me up, because you started touring the U.S. And so you got in your Airstream trailer and you put out on Facebook, earth, fire, air, water, ether, aluminum.
I'm glad you like that.
I love that. That is so cool. Did you have some great human interest experiences on your travels?
I've had some really great experiences, and I go on trips for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and then come back for a while, and I'm actually getting ready to go on a longer trip this summer to California, which I'm gonna actually really enjoy the weather over there, because it gets kind of hot here in Austin.
Yes, it
but
does.
It's been an incredible experience. There's something about being on the road and being on the move that, like, it gets the juices flowing somehow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's hard to stagnate. For me, it's hard to stagnate when I'm moving around so much. So
you know, you don't have the wife and kids and the mortgage. You don't have that going on. So
right.
Yeah.
I'm in a good spot right now, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it as much as I can.
That is incredible. I salute you for that. That is just so amazing. Something else I want to salute you for is your excellent website, and I want to give that out again. It is brainjuice.me. It's fantastic. I mean, this is the wave of the future, is to mitigate our complaints by taking the holistic approach and taking responsibility for our own well-being. Folks, there are products out there on the grocery shelves such as brain juice. And this came up through Sam Ellick. It was his destiny to be the CEO of something. And this is it. Yeah. And so the brain juice, we didn't even talk much about the brain, but all this other stuff has been so juicy, as you put it. But the brain juice is a brain supplement, and it's a liquid shot of natural ingredients that benefit your brain. This is amazing. And so I love how you're saying that our young people, they want it now. They want it fast. It's like, you know, hook me up, just feed me, you know, give it to me. And we don't want that through AI, do we now? I hate to ask the leading question, but you know, my commitment is, you know, it's like, Leah, do you want to be terrific by using AI or brain juice? I'm going to take the brain juice. I don't want the AI messing around with my brain. I don't want any implantable anything in my brain. I'll take the brain juice.
There we go. I'm in full agreement with you there. And one of my heroes is actually Elon Musk, who is the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And he's a big, he speaks out. I'm not going to say he's against AI, but pretty much I think it's probably fair to say that he is. He's definitely a whistleblower for the dangers of it. Good. And I think we all saw Terminator and 2001 A Space Odyssey, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's, you know, I'm not going to say that there's, it's hard to imagine us at some level not developing some technology like that. I don't know that it's, I think we're going to have to, I almost feel like, and I'd love to hear your opinion if it's differently, but I almost feel like we have to accept that technology at some level is coming. And so the question is, how do we deal with it? And how do we use it to augment to make us better, and kind of keep the reins on it is a question that I think about a lot.
Well, I would love to invite you to keep that question in the forefront, especially, you know, with your young friends, and you guys figure it out, you know, create it, alchemize it, invite it. We're going to be doing a lot of transcending. And I know that, like you were saying, hey, Leah, I'd really like to develop this jet that, you know, is whatever, you know, free energy jet, you know, just go ahead and sprout the wings, Sam. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be flying, and that's how we're going to do it. We are the new humans. We're here, we're alive. And I guess that's probably the end of our broadcast time today. And that's a good note to end on, I think. And, had a few little technical glitches, in this broadcast, but, all in all, I'm real happy with having had you on, and I feel healthier just by being with you. And again, it's Sam Ellick, my friend, who is the founder and consciousness exploration officer over at Brain Juice. Check out his website. It's brainjuice.me. Look for Brain Juice. It's in these darling little green bottles on your grocery shelves, and if it's not there, ask for it. Right, Sam?
There we go. That always helps us out, because they, you know, they want to hear that there's customers demanding it, so that they bring it in. So that'd be great.
Of course. Thank you so much, my friend, for coming on, and all the best blessings to you and to all your team over at Brain Juice.
Thank you, Leah. I really appreciate being on the show. It's been a blast, and I salute you for what you're doing, because these conversations are very powerful, and they need to be had, and they're fun too. So
absolutely. Well, that's it, everybody. Check out my coaching at fearorlove.com. I am a transdimensional awakening coach, and signing off, oneness happens. It's the great letting go and letting in with allowance and balance. So trust the process, know the process, be the process, and do the process as we unzip reality. Bye-bye, everyone.